Take out your notes if you would and follow along. Fill in the blanks when you can and maybe write some notes to yourself. First day of our new series for Christmas. As I said, maybe the Lord wanted us to put it off for till this week from last week. I don't know. But we're doing a series this year on The King is Coming. It's our December sermon series. And I don't know what you think of. We sang in our opening song, "Let Earth Receive Her King." But when you talk about the words of the song, "The King is Coming," you normally think about the Gaither song when it talks about happy faces line the hallways, those whose lives have been redeemed, and then that he's standing at the edge ready to come back and take his church back. That's what we normally think of when we think about the King is coming, and we know the King is coming. He will return, and it could be today. I always say at this time of the year, I hope it's after Christmas because I'm such a Christmas fan. But if he came back today, that would be great. Wouldn't it be awesome to be celebrating Christmas with Christ? But we normally think of his return when we think about the King is coming, and he is coming. But I want you to understand and remind you again today that he already has come. And we're going to be looking at our series. I've kind of reworked that this week. Today we're going to be looking at he's coming because the prophets predicted it. Next week, Lord willing, he was coming to bring salvation. He was coming to bring hope. And then on Christmas Eve, I'm kind of redoing my message a little bit because he's coming to bring good news. So we'll condense that message a little bit. That's our series, kind of in a quick nutshell. But the King is coming. So let's ask the Lord to bless our time together. Father, we thank you so much that we know you've come, and we look forward to that soon return and believe it is soon. But Lord, we pray that this Christmas we would have a new appreciation, a new understanding, and a new fascination maybe with the fact that you came as a baby. You came as a king, as a baby. And Lord, we don't necessarily understand why, or we don't understand all of Scripture, and we don't certainly can't explain it all. We don't understand the reasons for the plan of salvation, but we certainly appreciate it and are grateful for it. We pray, Lord, that you would just bless us as we look at your word. Thank you for this time of year, and just pray that we would make room for the King in our hearts and our lives. And we pray for room in our nation for the coming King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the things about being such a Christmas enthusiast as I am is that people kind of get numb to my excitement. You know, I start counting down to Christmas next year on December 26th. I will know, and Sue does this each week, not all the time, at Teen Summer. How many weeks till Christmas? I know that it's going to be on a Wednesday this year. I know 2020, it's going to be on a Friday. Did you know that? Because of leap year, we add a day, so it's not going to be Thursday next year. It will be on a Friday. So I will know most weeks how many weeks till Christmas. But there are some people who are more Scrooge-like when it comes to Christmas. When I put it on in June, only 6 months till Christmas, people say, let's get past July 4th first. And then if I put it on in July 4th, they say, let's get past Labor Day. And they have all these excuses of why they don't want to think about Christmas being coming, you know, just 6 months away. But I love the Christmas. I love everything about Christmas. I love the decorations. I just love coming in and turning the lights on a Sunday morning and just seeing around here. I love our Christmas tree. And it has nothing to do, really, nothing to do with gifts. Cheryl can tell you that. I don't think anything about gifts, but I just love the atmosphere and the songs of Christmas and just the joy that so many people have. The story that was going to change the world, the story of God sending his son to be born for the sole purpose of dying. And I do pray that each of us would have a greater appreciation this year as we celebrate the coming of the King, and we do it with a new enthusiasm, that we are genuinely excited about what Christmas really means. In Christmas series in the past, we've done a bunch of different things. We've looked at the fact that, you know, looked at Christmas presents, how they're thought of, they're sought for, they're purchased, they're paid for, they're wrapped, and we looked at all that in the form of Jesus. We've looked at the characters of Christmas. We've looked at songs over the month of Christmas and kind of tied those in. But I can tell you, and I've heard other pastors say this, I've been a pastor a long time, and it is difficult to come up with a new a new wrinkle on the Christmas story, because it's the same story we all know so well. Even if you're not a big Christmas fan, you know the Christmas story. So trying to come up with a sermon series or sermon topic that's original can sometimes be difficult. But today we are going to do something we haven't done yet before, is we're going to look at, today we're going to be looking at the prophets, the Old Testament storytellers who predicted the coming of the king, predicted Jesus' birth, and all of that long before he showed up on earth. So there's 3 points. Number one is who they were. Who were the prophets? Well, they were men who were chosen by God to speak his message to his people. They were going to be God's mouthpiece to deliver his message to the people that he wanted. They were going to have to speak forth his words. The prophet was not necessarily a religious leader or a priest, but he did have a specific task to communicate what God said directly to them, to the people. He was responsible to convey God's message exactly as they received it. And there were certain tests that we know. They had to speak in the name of the Lord. You guys all know the prophet's test. They had to speak in the name of the Lord. Prophecies had to be fulfilled. So you can't, you couldn't predict something was going to happen in a week and it not happen, still be considered a prophet. It had to be fulfilled. And a lot of the ones that were talked about in Jesus as the prophets predicted it, they didn't live to see it fulfilled. But we know that they were prophets because those things were fulfilled. And those words had to match other prophecies. In other words, you couldn't talk about the virgin birth and Mary giving birth to a girl. It had to be, you know, you couldn't change the prophecies that didn't line up with other versions. You could predict something new, but they still had to line up with God's word. And it's interesting when we look at how the prophets were called. We're just going to look at two this morning. Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6 says, "Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that had been taken from with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and he said," look what he says here. He said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. And heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.' And he said, 'Go and say to the people, say this to the people.'" And then he gave Isaiah his message that he wanted him to convey. But we see that God had to deal with Isaiah's sin first. He said he touched his lips because that's where Isaiah was probably known for being a sinner. As he spoke a lot, God said, I need to clean your mouth before I can use your mouth for my glory. So Isaiah was called specifically by God. Listen to what he says to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1. This is the whole what God said about Isaiah here. "Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations.' Then I said, 'Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth.' But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say I'm only a youth, for to whom all I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak.'" And then he says this, "Do not be afraid of them. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And he said to me, 'Behold, I have put my words in your mouth.'" Though that's what the prophets were, that they were called by God. They were touched by God. They were cleansed by God before God could use them. And then these prophets, these men of God, went on to remind the people, you need to obey. And when you don't obey, you need to repent. And then you need to trust God alone when it looks like everything else is against it. Again, remember, they were writing to the Old Testament Jews when all these nations were coming against them. And some of the prophets said, yeah, things are going to happen. We're going to be going into captivity. But you need to understand that God's doing that because of our past, because of our sin. Continue to trust God in the midst of this stuff. And that would have been very difficult. But give hope that Jehovah, or they gave hope that Jehovah was still in control. They warned them of judgment to come if they continued to disobey. So the prophets were used by God, and they didn't only speak about the future, although that's what prophecy was. They did speak about near, soon to come events that could be tested. So they were speaking not only to future events in the nation, but they spoke about present times in the nation as well. So that's who they were. They were men who were called by God to be his mouthpiece. Second is what they said. What they said. There were hundreds of prophecies written about Jesus and written about future events, obviously. And as you read through the Old Testament, it's really interesting, as you know the New Testament as a more mature Christian. Maybe you know more Scripture in the New Testament. And as you read through the Old Testament, you've seen some of these things fulfilled, and you know that it's something that's written early in the Old Testament, you know by the end of the Old Testament it's going to be fulfilled. It's so exciting to be able to read that and to understand what God said. Much of it has already happened. But that gives us the confidence to think about the things that are said about the future, that those are going to come about as well. That God did not fulfill a few events and then is going to leave a bunch of events unfulfilled. We know that God will keep his promises. And many of the prophecies in the Old Testament had to do with Jesus, this promised Messiah. There were over 60 of them just about his birth. And most of those were written 700 plus years before Jesus was actually born. You may have heard about the prophecies that Jesus, or the statistics of Jesus. I'm sorry, I was reading that. That kind of threw me off. I put that up late. The statistics of these prophecies coming about in just one man. There's been a lot of research done about how could all of the prophecies written about Jesus be fulfilled by Jesus. Well, for just 8 of these prophecies to have been completed by one person would be, well, get this, 1 to the 17th power. That's 1 with 17 zeros following it. Now, I had no idea. I love math. That was my best subject in school until I was in teaching 11th, 12th grade math last week, and I had no idea that the teacher left all this stuff for me to study. He goes, you can study it over the weekend. And I had all that stuff, but it's been like at least 10 years since I graduated high school. So I had a hard time remembering it. So the kids walked in and said, yes, Mr. Hagee, we're going to learn it. I said, you're going to learn nothing from me because I don't remember it. Even the aide who was in with me was in there all year, and I asked him, I said, Mr. Post, help me with this. He goes, I'm not sure about that. So I didn't feel quite as bad about being out of the thing, but I did love math. I had statistics. I really liked that. But I did look up, typed in on Google, 1 to the 17th power, and it gave me this word, I don't even know how to pronounce it, quadrillion or something like that. I don't even know if they just made it up to make it sound good. I don't know. But that's 1 with 17 zeros following it, the possibility or probability that just 8 of the prophecies of the Old Testament could be fulfilled in Jesus alone. Josh McDowell is the one who quoted that. And he said this, he got this from the American Scientific Affiliation. I want to hear his explanation about this. If you were to take that many coins, 1 to the 17th power, or 1 quadrillion coins, if you were to take that many coins and spread them out, they would cover the entire state of Texas in a 2-foot deep pile. He said if you were to mark one of those coins, throw it in the pile and stir it around, blindfold yourself and start walking around Texas. Stop a few days later, bend down and pick up one coin. He said, that is what the chances are of all these 8 prophecies being fulfilled by Jesus alone. That's amazing. What are the chances? It's the coin you marked. He said, that is the same probability that one man could have fulfilled 8 of these prophecies. Jesus not only fulfilled the prophecies of his birth, he fulfilled all of them and showed that the world showed the world that he was God's son, and he came to save the world from its sin. See, God wanted people to recognize Jesus as his son. God wanted them to know that he was coming for that reason, to make people his children. But it wasn't just about his birth. It was specific prophecies about where he was going to be born, about his parents, what his name would be. Isaiah and Micah both gave a message. Listen, Isaiah's, I'll get to Micah's a little bit later. Isaiah chapter 7 said, therefore the Lord will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And then Isaiah chapter 9, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. It says, for unto us a child is born. He's not born yet. Isaiah was writing 750 plus years before Jesus, but he's saying, for unto us a child is born, as if it's happened already. Isaiah was so confident that in his prophecy, he was saying, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The prophets told where he would arrive. They said who he was, who he was going to be, what he would do, and how he would be received by the people. People weren't going to appreciate necessarily who Jesus was. But Isaiah did tell us that Jesus was the Messiah and that he was going to be born of a virgin. I have it up here. Many people today, including fundamental gospel preaching pastors, deny the virgin birth. You can go to a lot of churches, mainstream churches across America, and you will not hear the virgin church preached or believed by men who are called to teach the Word of God. And I want to tell you something. If you remove the virgin birth, then all you're left with is Jesus. Now, we could say, well, Jesus was the Son of God. Well, if you take the virgin birth out of the equation, he was just a normal man. And he was not who he claimed to be. I think it was Josh McDowell who... No, it wasn't Josh McDowell. The name's slipping my mind. But he wrote a book, Jesus was either a liar, a lunatic, or he is Lord. That was the title of the book, Liar, Lunatic, or Lord. If he was not born of a virgin, then he was a liar because he claimed to be, the Bible claimed to be. If he said all those things and he wasn't who he was, then he was a lunatic. He was crazy, crazier than crazy. But if what he said was true, he is Lord. But it's sad when so many people take the virgin's birth. If you remove the fact that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, then he had a human father, a human mother, and he had that sin line. He got his humanity through Mary. He got his divinity through the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you, if you take the virgin birth out, you've lost Christianity. And if you find yourself ever in a church where the pastor doesn't believe in the virgin birth, get out of the church. Okay, because if they deny the virgin birth, then there's so much else you can deny about the Word of God. But the virgin birth and what Isaiah talks about here, he is saying, behold, the virgin shall conceive. If Jesus didn't fulfill that prophecy, how many other prophecies did he not fulfill? We're told his name is Emmanuel, God with us. And this is God taking human form while maintaining his divinity. I was thinking, imagine being there. We know the story. Imagine this being Christmas night and the baby has just been born. And Jesus, this new Son of God, Emmanuel, is in this manger. And I don't know how the manger looked, whether it was, I'm sure it was enclosed. I don't think it was open to all the elements, but we wouldn't be able to see much on a Christmas story if we close it in. But imagine having that baby. And imagine just, I've thought of this a lot of times. Jesus cried. Jesus would, I don't know, if he had diapers back then. He wet his swaddling clothes, I'm sure. Jesus was a man. And imagine being Joseph. Back up so you can understand this. How many of you had children who got sick in the middle of the night? Anybody? Okay. How many of you walked around just tapping his... It's my child. I love him. I love him. 3 o'clock in the morning, I love him. As he throws up down your shoulder, it's going, yes, I love him. I wonder if Joseph ever picked Jesus up in the middle of the night when he was crying and he had soiled his swaddling clothes and just tapped and said, this is Emmanuel. This is God with me. God, this is my son. Help me to love him. I wonder. But that's exactly what was going on here. God with us, the night that he was born, God left heaven and was here. Not here, but in the manger, in the crib. And that was God with us. That immediately, all those prophecies had been fulfilled. Isn't that amazing to think about? We don't think about the reality sometimes of the virgin birth. We don't think about the birth a lot of times. We picture him more as a man and the great miracle worker. But Mary and Joseph had to deal with him as a baby. He cried. Matter of fact, that's one of the songs we sang when we did our song service, was Joseph's song. And he said, when he cries, the sun seems to disappear, but when he smiles, it shines again. The sun shines again. That's what Mary and Joseph had gone through. But the reality is, in the baby that night, the night that he was born, God came to earth. This perfect God who was still all man. Can I explain it? No. Do I believe it? Yes. Do I believe it was a virgin who gave birth, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. Why? Because the Bible says it. And if we don't believe it, then we can deny everything else about Christianity. All right? Then number three, just ask quickly, why he'd come. The prophets talked about it, but Jesus could have said, forget this. I don't want to go. I helped create these people. I don't want to become one of them. But the prophets gave all kinds of descriptions about the child, gave explanations of who he was going to be, the reason why he would come, why he would leave heaven in human form. The very God who created everything was going to become living among us. That is mind-blowing to me. I hope it does to you, too. I hope you're not able to sit back. Well, Pastor Ron, let me tell you why it happened, because I don't think you could. But it's mind-blowing to think that he would leave heaven to come to be born here. But Isaiah would give us a list of these titles, and we've read some of this. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 to 7, it says, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of the peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from the time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. I want to give you the reasons why he came, because it's all right here. Number one, he came as king. He came as king. The title king may have been reason why he was missed by so many people when he came. Because when you hear the term king, you're thinking of someone born in royalty, not born in an animal pen, an animal feeder. A king wouldn't be born there today, would they? Or would he or she or he? He wouldn't be born in a carpenter's home. A king would be born in royalty. And from our perspective in history, we know that Jesus came as this eternal spiritual king. But see, the Jews were looking for an earthly king who could bring about justice against the Romans. That's all that they were looking for. They wanted a king, yes, but they didn't want a spiritual king. They wanted a human king who could help them defeat their enemies. But he came as king. God's plan was just a little bit different. Second, he came as a counselor, comforter. As a wonderful counselor, he understands what we're going through. He can encourage us. He can sympathize with us. He knows our needs. Not only would he fulfill those duties, but he would do it wonderfully. That's the term that Isaiah added. He was a wonderful counselor, a wonderful comforter. What an awesome God that baby was. Came as king. He came as comforter, counselor. Letter C, he came as mighty God. Not just God, but a might. The might and the power of God. Jehovah's Witness recognized Jesus as a God. If you were to have them come and knock on your door and you talk to them about Jesus, they will say, yeah, we believe Jesus. He's a God. He is one of many gods, but they don't recognize him as being the Son of God who was sent to pay for our sins. You see, this child that we are looking at held in his body, held in his character, held in his person, the very nature and heritage of his Father, Almighty God. He was good, but he was also God. D, he was eternal. Again, I put up there, he was everlasting. That points to his divinity once again, that we are assured that he didn't just come and 33 years later, die on the cross and stay dead. That's why I love that song that we sang, the King of Kings. It talks from the time the virgin got the news, the cradle in the dirt, to his coming and the church being born. That's amazing. That's so powerful. I just love that song. But it's just talking about everything that Jesus did. And it's, the church is ongoing, isn't it? That's his bride. We're his bride. He's coming back for us. It's eternal. God with us. Letter E. He's a peace giver. He's a peace giver. The Jews weren't looking for their king to be a spiritual leader. They were looking for this earthly king to bring about peace and deliverance from their enemies. They wanted a political savior and deliverer. God planned it to be a spiritual savior and deliverer. The Jews wanted restoration from all of their enemies and relationships with people. God said, I'm sending my son so I can restore a relationship with me. There's a huge difference between why he came, but this baby was going to offer a type of peace that the world didn't care for, they didn't think about, they certainly were not seeking, but it was a peace with God the Father. And then finally, he's eternally just. He's eternally just. This new kingdom was going to be ruled in justice, and it's something that, again, the people had never heard of before. They loved thinking about David. They loved thinking about Solomon. They were good kings, but they weren't perfect kings, were they? They weren't eternal. They weren't just. They weren't eternal either. But they weren't just in all their dealings. David murdered someone. Solomon had many wives. Solomon cheated. Solomon did all kinds of different things. They were not just. And Jesus was coming as a completely different type of a king, completely just. But Jesus met these terms as perfect son of God, perfect man. There was another prophecy we're not going to take the time to go with tonight, but talked about Isaiah chapter 5, verse 2, specifically mentioned Bethlehem. It says, but you, O Bethlehem Ephratah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth one who will be the ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. So not only all this about Jesus and his family and who he was going to be, where he was going to be born was prophesied before it occurred. So the prophets gave these messages and talked about the role of the baby, talked about what Jesus was going to be, and then suddenly they were silent. Between Malachi, the end of the Old Testament, to when Jesus was born, there was no prophecies given. And can you imagine that 700 plus years of total silence? I guess closer to probably 400 or 500 years of total silence when Jesus or God spoke nothing to the nation. We don't mind waiting, do we? We enjoy waiting. That's one of our favorite things to go through. It wasn't the Jews' favorite thing to go through. And imagine just waiting for the fulfillment of that. As we're going to see, every woman in Israel hoped to be the mother of the Messiah. That was her dream. She was looking to be the virgin who was going to deliver the Messiah. But imagine waiting. The people back then didn't enjoy it either. But we're going to see as we go on through this that not only was it prophesied, but it came about in God's time. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this baby that we talked about, Lord, for the reality of the baby coming to earth. We're so grateful that your plan overshadows ours and that your plan was perfect. And sometimes we don't like the timing of your events, but it's all in your perfect will. And Lord, I'm sure, as we said, the people were frustrated that it took so long for the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies to come about. But again, it was in your timing. We pray, Lord, as we come now to the communion table, that we would be able to remember and celebrate the coming of the King, because he came, and we look forward to his return. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to ask the men to meet me in the front. Well, as we come to the communion table, we are looking ahead. We are remembering the birth. We're remembering his death as well. But we're looking forward to this return of the coming King. And again, this is not the table that belongs to Draper Baptist Church. It belongs to Christ and his bride. So I'm going to ask Russ if you'd ask the blessing on the bread.
Kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we just come to you today, Lord, and we think of the body that was broken for us, Lord. As we take the bread, Lord, we realize that the suffering you went through, Lord, and God's plan, and Lord, that you fulfilled it to the T. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we think about this little baby growing up to be the perfect son of God, or he was the perfect son of God, but the perfect sacrifice to his father, that's what we're celebrating today. The fact that he lived a perfectly sinless life and willingly gave that life for us. And his body was broken, tormented, beaten, but he did it for us. Let's take it together. Understand? Aaron, would you ask a blessing on the cup?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for sending your son. He was beaten, broken, and bloodied on that cross for our sins, so we could have eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
ever since I was a kid. I loved reading or having it read when I was real little. Luke chapter 2, the Christmas story. And always just, I just always loved that section where it talked about the manger and the shepherds and just Jesus' birth. But Luke is also one that probably gives the best. He's a doctor. He gave the best description of the crucifixion and all that went through with that. So think about the moment from Jesus was born, coming for the sole purpose of dying, and all the suffering that he went through. Luke covered all that. So maybe over the next few days, just read through the Gospel of Luke and just put it together in your mind, how he came as a baby, but he died as our Savior, and he rose again. Let's take it together as we celebrate that. We're going to stand together and sing. Hark the Herald Angels Sing.